I had two experiences yesterday, which I think are very worthwhile to share with you, particularly because I happen to feel that both of these experiences relate very closely to a particular episode that takes place, a strange episode at that, that takes place in this week's parsha of Parshat Chukat. Yesterday I was in the yeshiva that I teach at, Yeshiva Tezder Kiryat Gat, and I related over a shiur on Masechet Nedarim, and immediately afterwards I continued to learn with a number of my Talmidim Bechavruta, and as we were doing so, we came across a particular issue in a different Masechet, and one of the Talmidim, who happens to learn Gemara very nicely, asked the question. It was a question that actually challenged one of the points that I was bringing out in the shiur preceding this learning session. And he was semi-embarrassed in the fact that he was asking a question that clearly challenged what I had just said. But quite excitedly, he said to me, "You know, Arav, regardless of the fact that I'm asking a question here that strikes at the core of what you were bringing out in the last shiur, nonetheless," he took out a Masechet Avot, he opened it up to Perek Vav, what we know as Ethics of Our Fathers, and he showed me one of the 48 ways in which the Torah is acquired, is written, Hamachkim et Rabo, a Talmud, a student who generates a certain amount of wisdom from his Rebbe. In other words, he promotes that his Rebbe, his teacher, should become smarter. And the Mefarshim explain, how exactly does he accomplish that? Well, if the student asks a question that challenges the Rav, that challenges the teacher, that will incite that particular Rav, that teacher, to investigate, to understand and appreciate that question that is posed to him, and hopefully as a result of that inquiry, he will be able to better appreciate, better understand, better comprehend the entire sugya, the entire issue that he was meant to teach from the onset. But I have to tell you that while the student was a little hesitant in asking me the question, I was very happy that he was challenging what I had to say. And I couldn't help but feel inside a tremendous source and feeling of nachat, a tremendous sense of accomplishment. After all, the Gemara, the Talmud, explicitly states that there is no such concept of jealousy with regards to a parent and a child, with regards to a Rebbe and a Talmud, a Rav, a teacher, and his students. Because at the end of the day, what a Rav leaves behind is the same thing as what a parent hopes to leave behind. It signifies our achievements when we can leave our students and our children with better comprehension, with better skills, with more knowledge and understanding with regards to the world in which they live, and certainly with more loyalty and achievement in religious accomplishment. And I think that this clearly, Rabotai, is a message in this week's parsha. There's a very strange episode that happens after Aaron and Moshe. Moshe and Aaron are told that they will not take Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. The Torah says in Perek Chof, Psukim Chof Gimel through Chof Tet, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron behor ha'har al gvul eretz adom lemor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not only to Moshe, but to Moshe and Aharon together, which itself is strange, Ye'asef Aharon el Amav, ki lo yavo el haaretz asher natati livnei Yisrael. Aaron will now be gathered into Amav. Mefarshim explain, classically this refers to the Am above, the nation above, of tzaddikim, of righteous individuals who awaited Aaron to embrace him in Olam Haba. Aaron would now leave this world. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he will not enter Eretz Yisrael. He reminds him of this. Al asher meritim et pi lemei meriva. In fact, in the whole episode that took place with regards to the bitter water in which Moshe and Aaron were punished, consequently not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues, Kach et Aharon v'et Elazar beno. Hashem says to Moshe and Aharon, by the way, that Moshe should take Aaron and his son Elazar, v'ha'alotam el olahar, take them, raise them to this particular place, v'hashet et Aharon et begadav, remove Aaron's priestly garments, v'hilbashtam et Elazar beno, and dress them onto his son Elazar. V'aharon ye'asef u'meisham. Aaron will then be gathered. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling this to Aaron as well, as if Aaron is not there. V'yas Moshe kasher tziva Hashem. Moshe complies. He follows, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's specific instructions with what's meant to do in this whole fanfare of Aaron's death. Le'enei kol ha'eda. Vayavshet Moshe et Aaron et begadav. Moshe takes Aaron's clothing off. Vayalbesh otam et Elazar beno. He dresses Elazar his son. Vayamot Aaron sham berosh ahar. Vayered Moshe ve'Elazar min ahar. Sure enough, Aaron dies. Moshe and Elazar, as if now confirming a new partnership of leadership following Aaron's death, Vayiru kol ha'eda, they come down from the mountain, all of Bnei Yisrael see it, Vayivku et Aaron shloshim yom kol Beit Yisrael. All of the house of Israel mourn, weep, are in a state of depression and mourning as a result of losing their great leader, Aaron HaKohen. The psukim are difficult to understand. There are specifics in the text that are difficult to understand in of themselves. But let us ask the greater picture. Why was it important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell Moshe and Aaron about his death? Why does the Torah have to paint such graphic details with regards to Aaron's death? Why was it necessary for Aaron to remove his clothing and immediately to place those clothing onto Elazar his son? And what was so difficult for Moshe? The obvious answer is the challenge of seeing his brother, his partner, his loyal colleague removed from him, to see his death in front of his eyes. Why does the Torah have to give us these directives, these specifics, the instructions, and the entire graphic episode of the death of Aaron? And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, even with all of the grievance, even with all of the challenge of this removal of Aaron from this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds them, both Moshe and Aaron, Aaron now will die because he does not pass into Eretz Yisrael because of the grave error that he made together with you at the Mei Meriva. The answer begins, I believe, with Rashi's commentary on these specific psukim. Rashi says on Pasuk Chafei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Kach et Aharon, take Aharon, says Rashi, B'divrei Nichumim, Emor lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, tell Aharon in a source of comfort, talk to him nicely, in a comforting way. Emor lo, say to Aaron, what is this comfort that he should provide? Ashrecha, Praised are you, Aharon HaKohen, Shetirek Tarcha Natun Levanecha, Masha'ein Ani Zekai Lekach. Listen to the words, the pearls of wisdom that Rashi provides us with, Rabotai. Moshe tells Aharon, great are your achievements, praised are you. Why? Because you pass on from this world, but you are able to take your keter, your crown. The crown, my friends, represents that which sits on one's head. The head represents ideology. It represents knowledge. It represents wisdom. It represents commitment. Moshe tells Aaron, you are so lucky and fortunate to be able to see your position not only removed from yourself, but placed on the head of your son Elazar. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals here to Moshe is that the source of Nechama, the greatest source of comfort that a person can have in this world, certainly as he passes on to the next, is when one is able to declare that they have lived for a purpose. When one is able to make a declaration which confirms that there is a future generation, that the morals and the principles and the guidance and direction has now been instilled to promote the future of my children, to promote the future of my students. That is ultimately what a person leaves behind, and that is the greatest source of comfort that a Jew can have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Moshe to understand this. He wants Moshe to appreciate it, something which apparently Aaron does as well. And sure enough, Rashi continues in Pasuk Chaf Vav, V'hafsheit et Aaron et Begadav. Moshe is told to remove Aaron's clothing, but he's told as well, V'hilbashtam et Elazar beno. Place those clothing on his son Elazar. Says Rashi, et bigdei keuna gdola, the high priestly garments, habisheu vefshitam me'alav letitam el beno befanav. Take off Aaron's clothing and place them, clothe them, don them upon his son Elazar in front of Aaron. Why does Rashi insist on saying bifanav, in front of Aaron? Amar lo, hachnes la me'ara v'nichnas. Moshe gives specific instructions to Aaron. Go into the cave. He goes in. Ra mita mutzad v'ner daluk. Amar lo, alei lemata v'ala pshot yadecha upashat. In other words, as Moshe removes the clothing, it is following specific instructions. He tells Aaron, outstretch your arm, removes his sleeve. Stretch out your leg, he removes the pants. He goes through every single motion of this entire episode. Imagine to yourself, Rabotai, the feeling that even Aaron HaKohen has in knowing that he is now meeting his Maker, in knowing that this is the end of his life. How depressed he must have been. How frightened he must have been. And yet the Torah does not reveal so. Why? Because Aaron is confident. He knows that the clothing that he removes right in front of his eyes are now being placed, according to the Medrash, miraculously. They floated on, so to speak, to his son Elazar. That is Aaron's source of comfort. That is why Aaron does not protest. That is why the Torah does not express any emotion which Aaron reveals. Why? Because Aaron is ecstatic. Aaron is mekabel. He accepts HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzar din. Because his source of comfort comes from the fact that he now passes on his clothing to his children. A legacy, a tradition, a law, comprehension, commitment. That is the greatest source of comfort that a person can receive. V'zeu she'ne'emar, kasher meit Aaron achicha, Mita shenetavet lo. This was a mita. This was a death that Moshe, says the Torah, longed to be able to have. And says Rashi, Vayas Moshe. Moshe follows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive, which is rather obvious to us, Rabotai. Moshe always follows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions. Why does it say this? Says Rashi, Afal pi shadavar kashelo lo ikev. Even though this was terribly challenging for Moshe to do, nonetheless he was committed. Al pi pashtut, the simple understanding is, what was difficult for Moshe to do? What was difficult for Moshe to do, it would seem, is to see the death of his brother, to have to say goodbye, to part ways from his lifelong partner. But no, I believe that what was truly kashe, what was truly difficult for Moshe, was that he now had to place the clothing onto Elazar. Moshe wonders to himself, where's my legacy? Where are my children? I am not privileged to see my children take on the mantle of leadership that I wanted so badly for them. And that's why Rashi says, Moshe nitavele mita shel Aaron. Moshe's dying to have the same type of death, the same type of experience as Aaron is now having. Why? Because vayalbeishota mit Elazar beno. Aaron sees his child taking the same clothing, which represents the same ideology, which represents an education, which represents a commitment. Moshe says, halavai alai, I wish that I too could pass on that legacy to my children as well. But perhaps the entire source and purpose of this story is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe, or to demonstrate to Moshe, that he too will be comforted. Because in Pasuk Chaf Chet, what does it say? Vayafshet Moshe et Aaron et Begadav. Moshe takes off Aaron's clothing. Vayalbesh otam et Elazar beno. He places the clothing on Elazar. Aaron doesn't place the clothing on Elazar. Elazar does not place the clothing on himself. Moshe specifically is told to place the clothing on Elazar. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal to Moshe, you too have established a legacy. You too have what to be proud of. And indeed, the Torah confirms, Vayered Moshe ve'Elazar min ha'har. Moshe does not end his leadership with Aaron. Oh no. Moshe's legacy, Moshe's teachings, Moshe's mantra, Moshe's entire doctrine continues with Elazar. It is passed on from one generation to the next. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Moshe to understand and to appreciate that you too have made a tremendous mark upon the Jewish people. You are Moshe Rabban Shel Yisrael, the Rebbe who can accept questions from his Talmidim, not as a source of jealousy, but clearly as a source of commitment, of future, the ability to ensure the future of the Jewish people, to perpetuate the continuance. And certainly enough, interestingly enough, the Meshech Chochma Rav Meir Simcha Medvinsk comments on Yeyasef Aaron El Amav. Says the Meshech Chochma, Yitachein Delachein Meit Aaron Be'echad Lachodesh HaChamishi. This is probably why Aaron died on the first of the fifth month. Kedei Shemoshe Yechanech Et Elazar La'avodat Lifnai V'Lifnim. Beyom HaKippurim, so that now Moshe would have the opportunity to nurture, to teach his son Elazar
for the Avodat HaKodesh, the spiritual service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Likrat Yom HaKippurim, as Yom HaKippurim was approaching. What the Meshech Chochmah is demonstrating to us, Rabotai, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe that what we leave here in this world are our teachings, our lessons, our invaluable standards that set our children and our students apart from the rest of the world. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, you're misaveh, you desire the same type of existence, so be it. You have it, Moshe Rabbeinu. Here is Elazar. The kahuna, the institution of the priesthood, does not end with Aaron. It begins there, and it moves on to Elazar, his son. The same Parsha Chukat, which is marked with the consequential mistake of Moshe and Aaron by the Mei Merivah, losing their chance to go into Eretz Yisrael, what must have been a tremendous strike at their core, what must have instilled them with fear that they no longer have control, have impact on the future of Bnei Yisrael. Hashem tells both of them, there is room for comfort. And this idea indeed is confirmed in Pasuk Chof Tet. Kol Beit Yisrael, all of the Jewish people mourn Aaron HaKohen, says Rashi, Ha'anashim v'hanashim, men and women, lefi shehaya Aharon rodef shalom umatil ahava ben ba'alei meriva ubein ish liishto. Aaron was involved in education. Aaron was involved in family harmony, and therefore all of Klal Yisrael mourn his loss. Ultimately, the greatest impact that a leader, that a parent, that a rav, that a teacher leaves are the teachings and the ideals and the learnings that a child and that a student take with them as a result of the exposure that they have, the people around them. I mentioned before that there were two occurrences that happened yesterday that I wanted to share with you. Well, one I did. The second one was last night. I had to go, I went, didn't have to go, I enjoyed to go to a bar and bat mitzvah of one of my wife's relatives. A relative who is completely irreligious, very, very little roots with regards to Jewish tradition. So we went in Tel Aviv to this bar and bat mitzvah to celebrate the bar mitzvah of their son, the bat mitzvah of their daughter. And obviously, the entire evening was void of any religious connotation. And it was very upsetting to me. No understanding of what it means to be a bar mitzvah, a bat mitzvah, itchayvut bar mitzvot, that now they've reached the age of responsibility of taking upon themselves a greater subservience and servitude to Hashem, completely void of any understanding of that concept. So I turned to my wife at one point in the middle of, while their dancing was going on and the wild partying and so forth, I turned to my wife on the side, we stood there and we were sort of awestruck in terms of what's going on, and I said to her, you know, we had thought about bringing our little children, some of our little children, to this event, to the Simcha, and I said to her, you know, it's a good thing we didn't bring the kids. My wife turned to me and she said, you know, maybe not. If we would have brought the kids, I am convinced that they would have seen the difference in how some people celebrate, and some people see a bar mitzvah, and a bat mitzvah is simply a party, a reason to fanfare, a reason to have joyous dancing, but with no significance, with no religious appreciation. I'm confident, says my wife, that had we brought the children, they would have recognized the difference in what it means to be a bar mitzvah, to embrace a religious way, with significance and spiritual achievement, a longing to understand progress in religious and moral development. Because after all, my dear friends, in the end of the day,
hopefully the standards that all of us long to leave behind are marked by the way that our children and students behave and by the way that the generations after us subscribe to. Shabbat Shalom.